Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 151 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap a little bit of nerd news. We're going to begin in entertainment with A Quiet Place 2, Amazon buying out MGM, and some movie rumors. Then we'll move over into tech news with an update to an old Amazon story, some AI concerns, cyber attacks, and an odd story regarding a Bitcoin farm. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we're here with episode 151. And man, I've had a very odd day. And it's going to be weird that the, you know, let's see if we can get a normal piece of semblance of a day here and do a recording of the show.
Didn't work for a few days in a row. Like I never get consecutive days off. It was actually a decent weekend for me. I think I golfed like 46 holes.
that's more than I've done in 2021. So kudos to you. Let's jump into, did you check out a movie?
I did go see A Quiet Place 2. Currently writing the review as it's been sluggish as of lately, as I've said in the past. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved the first one. This one wasn't as heart-wrenching as the first one was. The first one was really family-based. This kind of takes the lead right after, like the second after the first one ends, this one picks it up. And it's more, it's a little more intense, not as like jump out at you thriller, but kind of like what's going to happen next, what's going to happen to this family. You do get a little bit of the heart-wrenching moments, not as much as the first one, but it progresses the story really well. Like I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've been oddly looking forward to this one. You know, it's been fell off the radar for a while with all the delays. It's been ready forever. Glad to see it comes out. And you know, some of the box office numbers, you know, it's did fairly well, I guess. You know, we're going to call it COVID success at this point in time.
40?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, and it came out in against Cruella too, which I know released on Disney Plus, but still took some of its numbers. That had a good opening. I think we're gonna get things rolling here with some new movies coming out and things on the slate for the late summer and the early fall. I really think we're gonna get it rolling.
Yeah, I mean, it's good signs all in all. If Quiet Place 2. You know, a sequel that Quiet Place 1, I think, did pretty, you know, it did fairly well in the box office, did really well when it got to like Netflix and stuff. So it had a decent following, but still for the sequel there to come out and put up a pretty good showing, even close to like opening weekend numbers for Quiet Place 1, I think it's a good sign for the theater industry. Hopefully that progresses into whatever's next on the slate. What's on your weekend next weekend? What's coming up?
Yeah, see, I'm not checking weekly. Like what's
coming out in June.
Yeah, there's not enough movies coming out periodically. I keep getting everyone ask me, you looking forward to Fast and Furious 9? I'm like, no, not at all. No. But I'll probably gut-wrenchedly go through that because if I can get into the swing of things of writing these reviews again, I will love to write that one. If I fail to write one before there, I think that will be the movie that's just like, no, you have to put your thoughts into the world for this.
I'd actually think I'd be disappointed if you just don't write any reviews for all these other movies that came out, and then the first one that gets you past your writer's block here is Fast and Furious 9.
Yeah,
that would that'd be disappointing.
Yeah, it's just the previews that they show. I can't take it seriously. It's too laughable to be cartoonish, but it's too. They act too serious to, I don't know what to make of that, man. It's fucking, I just don't even know what to think of that movie. Who goes to see that movie, man? Like, it's going to be me and like eight other podcasters in there just to shit on it.
The answer is enough, apparently. Enough people are seeing those movies.
Yeah, I don't get it. They're on 9. Like, they're going to hit 10 of these motherfuckers. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, well, we move over to, some other important news in the world of entertainment. Big news this week coming out of Amazon with Amazon buying up MGM. And that's an interesting buy. I mean, I guess it goes along with the, hey, Amazon buy up whatever you can, continue to build into Amazon Prime, which is coming up with its own originals and doing fairly well in that regard, but still not competing with Netflix. It just build out your catalog base. Okay. MGM's just an odd one in the sense that other than James Bond, there's no franchises to build off of really coming out of MGM.
But it was kind of like the only studio left with name recognition.
Yeah, like everybody knows that Roaring Lion, but do you know what movies come from that Roaring Lion? You know what I mean? Like, do you know what franchises are coming from that? Not really.
Yeah, I like you said, Bond. But so the MGM's the Lion Roar in the beginning, right? Like,
yeah.
I know I've seen a shit ton of movies with that.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody knows the Roaring Lion, but can you name the movie franchises coming from that? And the truth is, it's just not a ton. All right, then ultimately, coming out of MGM, you know, we really just have the Bond franchise, but like we talked... That doesn't really, I guess, matter very much. Amazon just is trying to build out their catalog. They're just doing whatever they can, and they're going to spend money because this costs them a whopping $8.7 billion.
I think we're going to wake up one day and just open up our Amazon Prime and be like, oh, yeah, that movie. Oh, hey, like, I remember that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it really just does come down to there's no loss here for Amazon. They are a $1.7 trillion company. They spent $8.7 billion on a movie production company that we all know. We may not remember what movies came from it, but it cost them close to nothing on their balance sheet.
Yeah, it's like it is pennies.
So ultimately it's got to be a win for them. You know, there are some things coming out of there outside of Bond, like RoboCop is a part of it. Maybe we get a weird RoboCop series. Maybe we get, you know, Handmaid's Tales.
I'll take a RoboCop animated series. If right. They do it like Invincible, if they give me a RoboCop version of Invincible, fucking all, yeah, here for it.
There's going to be things. Rocky comes out of MGM. I don't. Do we need more Rockies? Do we need more Creeds? I don't know. But they've got them now. If they really want it, and then really, I think if they made the Odd Job series, if they made a Jaws backstory, I'm gonna watch them. I'm gonna tune in.
Jaws, the prequel.
Yeah, you pick any of the classic Bond villains, and you give me a season of their backstory. I'm probably gonna watch. It's just gonna be something I'll do.
The Odd Job origin story.
Yeah, for sure. Like, how do you not watch that if that ends up becoming a thing? So, in the end, whatever it. I can't see the future of what MGM's or Amazon's purpose is for this. I'll say that they probably still win. Like, right? They still win in this.
It's the only studio left to buy. It's really just the only studio left to buy.
Yeah. Well, let's move on here to some other kind of news. And that's that Marvel confirmed that Oscar Isaac is Moon Knight.
Yeah, I don't understand why this. They put this out like they didn't just release a whole kung fu video of dude training for this TV show. Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like, it's almost like, you know, when you fake throw the ball to your dog and he turns around and he doesn't know what's going on. Like, that's what they think of us right now. Like, like I feel like that's what they think about us.
Yeah. This is the worst kept secret in Marvel's history. Marvel's generally pretty good at keeping, most of their main kind of storylines and casting news a secret until a big reveal. This one, it was something that people have been talking about for a long time, and it really wasn't even that big of a reveal. It was just like a tweet that they put out of him. So I guess cat's out of the bag on this one. It's finally confirmed. And, you know, we not spend any more time on that. We can move on to unconfirmed news, which is getting picked up by like major news organizations as confirmed. And I still haven't seen anything that says that Joker 2 is actually going to be a thing. I haven't seen any quotes from Todd Phillips or anything like that, but it's getting picked up all over the place that Joker 2 is in some level of development, getting co-wrote by Todd Phillips.
Well, the part of the headline that really like struck me was that it says, you know, Joker 2 is happening, but it's already a hard pass for some DC fans. Like what the fuck do you want from this company, man? Like you'll defend Batman versus Superman and Justice League. You'll eat up any fucking thing that Snyder shits out. But the guy who actually wants to put a sequel out to probably the best property that DC has, and you know, they kind of want it to be like this holy grail of just a one and done and not touch it, when obviously dude can write. obviously, dude has a vision. He's not going to fuck up his own legacy, or at least he's not going to try to. So why not at least take the chance on building a decent franchise again for your fandom?
Yeah, like I said, I'm definitely not a hard pass on it. I'm a skeptical maybe. I will watch it. Whatever it is, I will watch it. I also kind of wish they didn't touch it. There's, you know, the story that was told, I thought was beautifully done as it is. I like just being left off on the mystery of what is taking place at the end of the movie. Does he get away? Where is he at coming out of this thing? But I don't need to see Joker be a villain. Like, I don't need to see him with henchmen, and I don't need to see him progress beyond that kind of just wounded person in the backstory.
Yeah, but I'd like to see him molding and playing with society, and, you know, the whole, like, Joker just kind of proving that society has its dark side and that anybody can be the Joker, and, you know, the Killing Joke type Joker where he just wants to fuck with you to prove that you're not better than me. Like, you look at me like a sociopath, crazy motherfucker, but you're actually not better than me. You're just one bad day away from becoming me. You know, I'd like to see them play on, like, that kind of tone and work that into a story, because you got 10 years before Batman becomes year one Batman, at least, you know, so you got 10 years of the Joker trying to, like, mold himself into the ultimate villain that he becomes.
Yeah, like I said, I think there's definitely space to make still a compelling story out of it. That's why I'm going to be try to be hopeful towards whatever outcome comes out, and I will watch whatever it is. It won't change my mind until I see it, whether it should be done. But ultimately, you know, let's see. You know, I still, you know, maybe Joaquin's just a glutton for punishment. He ate too much dessert one night and just said, like, yeah, let's do it. I really need to shred back up to be Joker. And he's going to put himself through this again.
Yeah, I don't think you pay him enough money to do that shit. Like, yeah. They got green suits and deep fakes for all that right now. Like, you are not getting a shirtless Joaquin anytime soon in that movie, I don't think.
But let's see how it shapes out. Like I said, I'll keep an open mind. But we can move out of entertainment over into some tech. And let's do a quick PSA, quick public service announcement, reminding people we talked about Amazon and the Sidewalk program a couple months ago when it was first kind of released, that it was going to be a thing. And now, you know, at the time that this comes out on June 2nd, by June 8th, you need to opt out of the Sidewalk program in your Ring or your Amazon app or whatever it is. Otherwise, you are automatically opted in to sharing your wireless network with whatever Amazon devices are within range of yours to create a mesh network for whoever the hell needs to use it and to benefit their devices and their systems. So this is something we are firmly against, and you need to go and take the extra steps to opt out of it if you also agree with us. So if you're listening to this, take heed of this public service announcement.
I mean, just the fact that they're only giving you a week to opt out, like they're trying to catch you slipping so that you can't get out of it, just shows, like, how just, like, dastardly this is going to be. Like it is the least amount of transparency that I think they can legally do. You know what I mean? we can't just do it without telling y'all, but hey, we're going to whisper it and kind of put it out there and give you
we're going to put it out there a couple of months ago. Then after all the chatter dies down on it, all of a sudden we're going to quickly throw an update into your apps, give you a chance to opt out of it, and then turn this thing on.
You know, and I know the article said they might run into some snags because of, like, Comcast laws and stuff like that. Because you just can't share use my Wi-Fi. You just can't use my Wi-Fi, bro. Like, I have a password on my Wi-Fi for a reason. Well, just because I gave you my doorbell, you know, just made you my doorbell, doesn't give you the right to give every motherfucking one of my neighbors access to my wireless network. Like, and imagine if you could hack the Ring, you know what I mean? The access you'd get to all kinds of backdoors. And we've done the stories on the
IoT devices IoT being notoriously device. Shitty in their security.
This is fucked.
Yeah. I mean,
Not to mention, sure, you just turn into like a snitch. You're just the biggest fucking snitch. You wanted a nice doorbell so that you can save your Amazon packages. Little did you know that Amazon was going to rape you on the back end.
Well, I'm sure if you would have read their terms of service for your Amazon doorbell,
I'm so tired of that excuse.
We reserve the right to, at some point in time, turn on your internet for whatever the hell we want.
Like, there's certain arguments in life that I just really fucking hate. You know, like I've said before, like cars are a necessity in life. Like you, the people say driving is a privilege. No, driving, you cannot function in life if you don't have access to transportation and most likely personal transportation. And then you always get some asshole like, you can always take the train. You can always take the bus. Like, yeah, that's a fucking option, Brenda. I'm going to take five fucking transfers in an extra 2.5 hours to get to fucking work. Like, no, man, driving is a fucking necessity. Access to the internet is a fucking necessity. You can always go to the library and check out a book. Yeah, I could. Yeah, I realize that. But is it fucking realistic? Like, I hate that fucking argument of, you know, well, you at least you have the option. Yeah, I have the option to inconvenience my life to the 10th fucking power, you know, while everybody else is just coasting along. It's fucked. I hate that fucking argument.
Well, I'll be sure to bring it up in just about every story that it relates from this point on. Yeah.
Like, let's be realistic in our expectations, right?
Well, we can move on from this PSA into a couple different stories relating to AI and to weapons. And the first one coming out of Newsweek, talking about Russia building an army of robot weapons in conjunction with Chinese AI tech. And this is news. It is important. It's also something that I think anybody who's ever read or seen anything about Russia and China knew intuitively. Like, of course this is happening. Like, what do you mean? You know, we're just now confirming this information.
Yeah. Like, this is like bad guy super friends. Like, you know, there's only a handful of countries out in the world that are just blatantly fuck the United States all out, wear it on their t-shirt and put the bumper sticker on their Toyota, you know, and like, these are the top two. Of course, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they are going to shake hands and share as much of the shit they can. You know, Russia's got military tech. China's got intelligence tech. Hey, let's merge these things together and say fuck those guys across the ocean.
Yeah, and you know, the vast majority of the tech collaboration between them is documented in like the civilian sector, but then there's clear ties to their military development, R&D, and you know, we know Russia's already building autonomous kind of tanks, humanless tracked vehicles, armored weapon systems, and then combining that with Chinese AI technology for targeting and for improved intelligence and command and control. All of that pairing up together, again, as expected, this is just now getting picked up on the national stage as kind of confirmed contracts, confirmed kind of dealings between the two. But well expected at this point.
Yeah.
A less than kind of obvious story next is one about an actual lethal drone. You know, the headline to this is that a rogue killer drone hunted down a human target without being instructed to do so. This is a drone last year. It's a Turkish designed drone flying in Libya during the conflict in Libya. And it is designed to fight in kind of not like traditional military, but like an anti-terrorist type scenario. And this drone was programmed to identify a target. It identified that target and it executed that target all without any human intervention. This is like the first known example of the UN demonstrating and knowing of, hey, from pretty much start to finish, from sending it out, that it located its own target and then carried out the execution of that target without any human intervention, without any human oversight, beyond it getting launched.
I this is kind of insensitive, but I just thought of like joke, like someone did lose a life here and I'm kind of a dick, but is this like the drone equivalent of like a cat bringing a dead mouse to your front door? Like, is this the AI drone equivalent of like, hey, look, yeah. I did something good for you. And it's like, whoa, droney. Like,
yeah, ooh, you went a little far there. Like, yes, I don't like mice, but at the same point in time. Yeah, it's a scary concept, especially in the realm of, we've talked about it here a couple months ago. You know, there was a hearing at the UN, and they're still at the UN, you know, a decade after this becoming an initial issue. They are still debating over how to define what is a lethal autonomous weapon system, what it classifies as laws, to what level is the human in that kind of chain of decisions or outside of that chain of decisions. And without a clear definition on what is a lethal autonomous weapon system, what is gone too far, the UN has not made really any resolution or any consensus as to what is banned, what is allowable in this realm of autonomous weapons.
Yeah, like that's one of my fears, is that this is just going to give, like, you could just always claim that it's a bad code that something like this happens, rather than the actual intent of a military and an actual intent of a human. Like, you can send this drone to do some dirty shit, and then when the UN comes at you and says, hey man, that actually goes against our rules, you'd be like, ah, these goddamn ones and zeros, we just haven't figured it out yet. We're sorry, but it's not our fault. It gives them culpability.
Yeah, and that is one of the biggest challenges. It's not to say that AI systems can't target and actually do better, right? Every example of collateral damage, of fratricide, of friendly fire was caused by a human up to this point. We haven't relied on autonomous systems. So humans are the ones that are causing all these errors in the past. But at least there was a head to put on the chopping block, a commander to blame. There was something.
Yeah.
AI might actually do better. Like, in the end, we might have a reduction in collateral damage. Most military experts believe that we will have a reduction in collateral damage, have a reduction in fratricide events. But we lose that, you know, head on the chopping block. We lose that finger to point at when things go wrong.
Yeah, like, it's... Who's to say that they don't say, you know, oh, well, we were just wanting to surveil this person. We didn't mean to assassinate, you know, this head of state or whatever. We were just doing our surveillance that we normally do, which is completely legal. And there happened to be an error in the code, and the AI perceived him as a threat and took him out. So sorry, even though this benefits us greatly, we didn't mean to do it.
Yeah. Is it a difficult problem to be solved? You know, we would all expect the UN to step in and address these things. We're just not there yet, I guess. Yeah. UN's still over there fighting over language instead of making decisions, kind of like what they did following World War II with like chemical weapons bans, which were very successful at curbing the development and the use of chemical weapons.
But we also know it doesn't stop it.
It doesn't stop anything.
Bad people can do bad shit.
But
regardless,
but it drastically reduces, the scale at which it gets put to use. And, we need the UN to step in, come up with clear definitions, come up with a UN consensus of what is authorized and what is not, and then enforce that. And just before, you know, before there's Turkish drones running out there and hunting down whatever targeting they program it into. But let's move on from this story here, and I guess talk about just one other AI story, which was a report that on the non-military, non-weapon side of AI, but on just like the business use of AI, this report found that most business leaders did not go into like the development of their AI systems with like ethical decision making as their forefront, into kind of ensuring that they had the right ethical approach towards their AI. And again, I guess I'm not surprised.
Shocker.
No, I just don't expect that to be the primary focus of any company when they are developing new tech, to be ethical in the forefront.
You mean the same companies that dump trillions of gallons of crude oil into our oceans, rape our natural resources, take a, you know, bottle up public water and sell it to the public for a profit. You mean all these companies, they don't have a strict ethics code and and they're not going to enforce it on AI? Like, I cannot believe this. This is shocking news right now.
Yeah, it's one of the tough aspects. And I guess I you know, in a perfect world, yeah, a clear decision on ethics up front would be the right thing to do. But what's the point of having an ethical business if it's not making money? If you didn't focus on actually having a functioning system, product.
Companies can make money and be ethical. They just couldn't make all the monies. And and that's the name of the game in this country. Is it's not about profits. It's about record profits every year. Like, it's always the thing that blows my mind about capitalism is that, you know, you got a company that makes $10 million a year consistently, hand over fist. You're not happy with that unless next year we make 11. The year after that we make 15. It's like you just can't be happy making $10 million a year. Like, isn't that an achievement in its own? Nope. There's a guy over there doing the same thing we're doing, making $10 million. I want his $10 million too. Fuck that dude. Like, let's get his $10 million. Like, it's yeah. And ethics goes out the window the minute you have that kind of mindset. And now, instead of, you know, algorithms that manipulate the market and figure out all this shit, you're gonna have all kinds of AI that tank Doge. And you know, you think Elon's tweets, you know, make you win, you know, take, lose or gain profits. Man, wait till that AI gets a hold of Twitter.
Well, that AI has already got Twitter. But let's move out of all this AI talk here, and let's talk a little bit of cyber attacks. And, you know, we can, this relates to previous cyber attacks we've talked about. The SolarWinds hack specifically was done by a Russian group, or an alleged Russian group, I guess, whatever. I don't know if we ever get confirmation of these things, but the Russian hacking group that was believed to be behind the SolarWinds massive attack seems to have struck again, this time with the USAID program. USAID being an actual organization that provides U.S.-based aid to other countries following, you know, natural disasters and other things. This Russian system was able to hack into their Constant Contact email, like email management company. It was able to hack into that to gain access to their official email accounts, and then sent out like a good old-fashioned phishing scam to over 150 different worldwide organizations, spamming all kinds of people within those organizations, and then anybody who clicked on a link that was in those phishing emails was immediately, their system was infected with malware that gave them access to their email servers, gave them access to various files and things on those local computers, as well as the ability to shut them out of systems and put in their own level of malware in those systems.
I still don't understand how in this day and age people fall for those phishing scams. Like, because I have a public number for my business phone. I probably get 50 texts a week that I have some coupon waiting for me. I have a package waiting for me. I won some contest, you know, all kinds of like just enticing, click this fucking janky ass short code right here to do it. Like, you have an Amazon gift card waiting, click this link that doesn't have the word Amazon in it at all. And do it. Like, how are people clicking these links?
So, you know, a lot of these entities, right, they would flag an email that was coming from an untrusted, you know, tell you that this was an untrusted, like, they literally received an email from a government email, from a U.S., from, like, it wasn't spoofing or pretending to be the USAID. No, it came from USAID. And so this one's a tough one. Like, yeah, it's easy to spam out those text messages and stuff like that because you don't know, you're an idiot to click on those links. You don't know who those people are. When you actually get something directly confirmed from an organization that you deal with regularly, one that gives you money when you're hit by an earthquake and a tornado and hurricanes.
Well, we also like, did the story where like Obama's Twitter got hacked and was tweeting out to send Bitcoin to this address. Like, yes, it came from Obama's official Twitter.
Right.
Should you have a little more common sense than that? Like, I get it. They did a good job of trying to get one over on you, but like.
But again, this one, I actually believe this one was way more sophisticated than you're giving credit to, in the sense that it's not like it was, you know, it wasn't enticing these 150 organizations with, you know, some lottery draw or whatever else. Like, no, it just looked like a normal government email with probably what appeared to be a harmless link that took them to some information that they probably need as a part of their organization or a relationship that they have with USAID.
I kind of equate this to like your friend's Facebook account getting hacked and you getting a weird message from someone you know that says, hey, click this link. Like, yes, it came from someone you know, someone you trusted, but should you have not have been like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on which Facebook friend.
Yeah, I'm just very like, I don't be clicking no links that get sent to me. Anybody could send me a link and I'm probably gonna look at it and be like, nope, no thanks. Like,
I don't know. Either way, it sounds like a pretty sophisticated hack that had a pretty wide net and a net really going after some high-level organizations. So again, just another big concern coming from these Russian hacking groups and targeting government entities and organizations.
The government's on the job. Don't worry. It's all going to stop now because the United States government is throwing a pile of money at it. And if this government's ever proven anything, is that we fix things with piles of money, right? Like, I don't know.
Yes, I still think so. You know, we're diving into the next article here, which is that it's confirmed that within the budget that President Biden has proposed, there's $750 million in this budget going towards the cyber protections of the companies that were affected by the SolarWinds hack. So ultimately, like, this is a good thing. This is a good thing. This is on top of $500 million, which was already earmarked for in response to cyber attacks. So we're looking at $1.25 billion towards cybersecurity improvements at the government level. Now, could you probably get that same level of work done for that initial $500 million if you spent it wisely? Sure, maybe. But this is still like, you know, we identify what our priorities are by where we spend our money. Obviously, we're spending our money here.
I think we identify where our problems are, where we effectively spend our money.
Oh, I mean, that's where do we spend effectively? Who the hell knows?
And exactly my point. Just because we throw giant piles of money at problems doesn't mean we're effectively solving these problems. What is it? We have like 8 times the defense budget than the next country behind us. Like, I don't think that's something that we should be too proud of. It's not an effective use of our tax dollars. Like, if every other country is safe from everything else that we are by spending 10 times less the money, maybe we should look at where we're throwing our money to. Same thing with this, you know, like, yeah, $1.25 billion, it's a lot of money. It don't mean shit if you're spending $30 million on a 1-hour seminar to teach all these geriatric senators what fucking cookies are. I don't have faith in this.
I know, but you're just never satisfied, right? We talk about cyber attacks all the time, and many times it's the government needs to do more, there needs to be more prioritization to this, and then we see significant spending put in by the current administration and it's nothing but skepticism towards the bureaucracy. Yes, I agree, there's skepticism towards our governmental bureaucracy is always warranted, but
I'd like to see legislation being brought up alongside with piles of money. I think this just makes for a good headline so that the American people put their head on their pillow tonight and say, we're throwing $1.25 billion at it. It's going to be all right.
Yeah,
it's going to be all right.
The truth is, the bureaucracy is going to kill it before it even gets spent. Yeah. Right? This is a proposed budget. It's going to get killed anyway. So,
you know, $500 million of it's earmarked for some art institute in some fucking state that it took to get this fucking passed. Like, none of this shit's going to tech. None of this shit's going to tech.
But it sounds good to tech nerds like us. Good job. Yeah. But, you know, you do need to get sophisticated to attack these things. You know, New York Times did a great article that we'll have linked in the show notes. It's a bit dense to cover here in the podcast, but they went and really dug into the cyber attack group, DarkSide, the ones that were behind the Colonial Pipeline, or the ones that were behind the tech that attacked Colonial Pipeline. It was a different organization. The DarkSide just provides the malware and then provides the customer service support to claim the ransomware.
And customer service support.
Like, New York Times did a phenomenal job diving into the organization, like showing like actual chats, pretending to be a customer, pretending to be, and like getting clear instructions on what to do if you were affected, and don't do this, make sure you do this, make sure you provide this information. Like DarkSide is, it's like a legit business with a tech chat system that will provide you guidance on both if you are the person infecting and you're trying to get paid a ransom, and if you are affected by the ransomware, they give you clear instructions on like, hey, make sure you don't do this because you're really going to make it hard for us to recover your data later. You need to pay the ransom first, and then we're going to do this. Like they are a pretty professionalized organization, playing that intermediary, just providing the malware, providing the malicious code, and then providing the support on the back end.
I think this article also just shows a glaring light on the fact that we have such a lack of like quality journalism. Like this is a story like kudos to the New York Times for trying to do this, like actual investigative journalism, trying to bring it to the forefront. We are probably one of 50 people that read this article. Like that is sad. Like that to me, that is really sad, is that there is this, they did this great thing to try to uncover how this all goes down, like how sophisticated this is, where we should be caring about, you know, how to stop this. And instead it goes into print and there's nobody under the age of 40 that really clicked on this at all. Probably a handful of people that actually got the paper article. Like this, it feels like this is just going on deaf ears. And yeah, like I feel bad reading this story because it was really well done. And I just don't think, yeah, we're at a point right now where investigative journalism like this, no one cares about, man. This is really sad. Like people should actually be appreciative that there's people out there doing stories like this and taking the time to illuminate these kinds of things.
Well, we appreciate you.
Thanks for the content, New York Times.
I have to say, I appreciate some nameless author that I didn't bother to look at the byline for putting this out there.
If you care, it's in the show notes. Click that link.
Let's move on. We got one last story, and this one I know is going to get you fired up. It's interesting. It's funny. And it's also very sad in the sense that, so British cops, they raided a weed farm, or what they thought was a weed farm last week, are we still raiding weed farms? Is that a thing still in 2021? What the hell's going on?
Bro, right, bro, don't even get me started on this, man.
Let's move on from that. We're in tech.
Me fucking started. Epstein didn't kill himself, but we out here raiding weed farms and shit. Like, get the fuck out of here.
All right. So ultimately, the British cops, they raided what they thought was a weed farm. It was a building that had too much external vents that they could see from outside, consuming a fair amount of electricity. They flew a police drone over it and got the heat signature from it, and it was producing way too much heat, this building. They thought it was the hallmark signs of a weed farm. Got the permissions, whatever else, did the raid into the building, entered the building. Nobody was there, and it was nothing but a massive Bitcoin mine.
And this makes me happy and angers me at the same time. So, one, like, haha, yeah, fuck you. Like, you thought you were doing, you thought you had it. Like, one, I don't understand how a warm-ass house is enough plausible cause to get a goddamn warrant to raid somebody's house. Like, what if I just like to run my heat, motherfucker? What if I'm just naturally chilly and I like to run my fucking house at 89 degrees at all times? Like, who the fuck are you to tell me I can't? Like, it's always been a thing, is like, especially in like Canada in the winter when there's snow on the roofs, they fly a helicopter over these houses. Any roof that doesn't have snow on it, that's all melted, they raid that motherfucker because you got weed plants in the attic. That's what they know. You know what I mean? And you know, for them to kick in the doors and just find a bunch of fucking nerds with servers and coolers with air conditioning fans blowing on them and shit, because like, I'm an electrician. I've ran circuits for Bitcoin miners before. These motherfuckers take all of a 20 amp circuit by themselves, and most of the people that I install them for have their Bitcoin miner in a cooler with an in-house air conditioning vent blowing into the cooler to keep these servers cold. Like, it is crazy amount of energy and heat that these things generate, you know. But like, this could have ended really bad, you know. Oh. What I mean, like,
oh, it's not over. My telling of the story is not over, sir. First, there was nobody home. And so there was no, you know, violent kicking down the door or whatever else. There was nobody home. They were very surprised to not find a bunch of weed and to only find this incredibly legal Bitcoin mine. But then they got to asking themselves, where's all this power coming from for this damn Bitcoin mine? And they found that they were actually stealing power from neighboring buildings as well. And due to them illegally stealing power, they still seized all of those Bitcoin mines.
Oh, Jesus.
And they are not giving them back. That entire Bitcoin mine operation, while it was legal, was illegally drawing power from other people and stealing the energy to create the Bitcoin mine. And the government still kept it all.
But I don't know how Canada law works, but if the warrant...
This is England, but...
British. My bad. I don't... So, like, if it is the United States, the warrant was for weed. You can't kick my door in for weed and then seize all my shit for legal power. Like, yeah, they could do it, but I'm not going to jail for it. I'm going to get off. Like...
Maybe, but they can still seize the equipment, and it's almost impossible to get that back.
Yes, this is true. This is true.
And that's what's happening here. Like, but they still seized all of the equipment.
But a good lawyer is going to walk you out of that courtroom a free man, regardless of how it goes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, every policeman on that force that day went home with a sweet-ass GPU.
Yeah. Like yeah, that they don't know how to use whatsoever. Like, but that's the thing is it sucks a crazy amount of juice to run these things. And there were obviously some smart motherfuckers to tap into everybody else's fucking power. And I just don't understand, like, if I was their neighbor, how I don't notice an extra $30 on my electric bill.
$30? Fuck.
Well, you figure if they did just one mining node to everybody's apartment complex, just
you'll have to see the images of go to the show notes and check out the images of this big one. Like, it is, this was an impressive sight.
Eh?
I mean, they were drawing a lot of power.
Fuck them. I don't feel bad for them, but I also don't like the cops either. Like, there's nobody in this story I'm rooting for whatsoever.
Yeah, but. But that's week in news, and
no space.
Man,
this
was
week.
It a rough
no,
one.
No space this week. Yeah, no, rough week.
Rough week for us on a personal level. Hopefully, you get to this point of the episode and it's all seamless to you. But man, was this a shit show for us to record?
Yeah, editing. We'll see how the editing wizard over here fares this out when I listen to this tomorrow.
But yeah, we had a false start. Had to take a break in the middle. Recorded for about 30 minutes, realizing that we weren't recording, had to start over again. And if you get to this point, you should be impressed. That's the only reason why I'm saying it right now.
Yeah.
So you could either forgive us for sucking or be impressed for the outcome.
Show 151 and it's still like it's day two.
Hey, either way, share the episode, join the Facebook group if you're not already there. Otherwise,
watch out for killer drones.
Yeah. Protect yourself. And let's get out of here until next week, nerds.
All right, see you guys.